Welcome to the Culture and Sports Podcast, where we have discussions about how leadership and organizational culture impact organizational success, team and athlete performance, and the short and long-term mental, physical, and emotional health of athletes. The Culture and Sports Podcast is brought to you by Culture and Sports. Culture and Sports helps sports organizations, teams, coaches, support and front office staff, and athletes understand the importance of leadership and organizational culture and its direct impact to success. Please join Lori Okamura and Dr. Jeremy Piasecki in this season of the Culture and Sports Podcast. Welcome back to the Culture and Sports Podcast. We'd like to introduce you to two very special guests. Keelan Mill is a freshman biology major, was the center last season at the University of Idaho's volleyball team, and is now the center at Central Michigan University. Emma Patterson is a senior at the University of Idaho, a fourth-generation Vandal. She is passionate about the intersection of psychology and data. When not immersed in her studies, she is part of the Vandal volleyball team. She also played 3 years at the University of Alaska Anchorage before she arrived at the University of Idaho. How are you ladies doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. We've had Emma as a guest previously on this season, and she wanted to bring a teammate on today to talk about their lived experience on the University of Idaho women's volleyball team. Emma, if you want to kind of give us a recap of what's been happening since you arrived there and then also where we are today.
For sure. When I first arrived here, I definitely was super excited to be a Vandal, to be playing Division I athletics. And pretty quickly that feeling of excitement changed, and the experience that my teammates and myself were going through was something that we knew wasn't okay. And so we started to take steps to kind of document what was happening and figure out what to do with the information that we were recording. And we followed the steps that we were given through the student athlete handbook and were told to follow, trying to figure out what steps we were going to take to use the documentation that we'd acquired to hopefully resolve the issues. And we wanted to follow everything that was highlighted in the student athlete handbook and that we were told in athletics meetings. So captains meeting with coaches, captains meeting with athletic staff, captains meetings with the athletic director, and then moving on to initiating an Office of Civil Rights investigation. And then the school then initiated a further investigation and going to the media when we felt like there was no progression and we weren't being taken seriously. And after the media, after the initial media posts and the news reports, there was some movement and a little bit more information, but then again, it kind of all faded. And just recently, we were informed that the one investigation that was Office of Civil Rights and Climate and Culture Concerns being investigated was split into two. And we just recently got back the preliminary results of the Office of Civil Rights investigation. The climate and culture investigation will take a lot longer because the Office of Civil Rights investigation was around a quarter of the total allegations. And with the ongoing investigations, there's not a whole bunch that can be shared, but as of yesterday, Wednesday, March 27th at 10 o'clock, our head coach was put on leave, administrative leave. And so now, again, we're waiting a little bit more and figuring out what the next steps are in returning to practice, in kind of catching back up on the things that we've missed. But it's good that the school is finally kind of taking action and, you know, regardless of what happened, it was clear at the beginning that our initial reports weren't believed and that it feels like it finally took an entire investigation from a law firm to confirm everything that we had said. So we're glad that it's come, that we're in this stage, but at the same time, it's a little bit of, why did it take this long?
Now, Keelan, you're a freshman now at Central Michigan University, but you were at University of Idaho last season for your first season in college. But before you talk about last season, can you kind of go into your sports career in general and how you ended up at the University of Idaho?
Yeah, so I started playing volleyball when I was 7 years old. I played all 12 years of my club career at Sports Performance in Aurora, Illinois. And then I won nationals my 17s year. I took second my 16s, and I placed third at nationals my senior year of club. And I committed to the University of Idaho exactly a year ago today. I was really excited, really happy, looking forward, always wanted to play Division I volleyball. So when the opportunity presented itself, I couldn't say no. And I just had like really good conversation with Chris over the phone. Like, had I known didn't know anything that had happened that previous season. So I was going in like as a freshman would, like really excited, really happy, looking forward to meeting everybody. I knew he had told me that we had internationals coming, and I always wanted to play with internationals. Was really excited going in, showed up in July for preseason stuff, had a blast, had fun getting to know the team. Then the season started and everything just evolved. And yeah, and now I'm transferred at the end of the season. I am officially at Central Michigan University as of January. And yeah.
So obviously things are probably a little bit better for you now at Central Michigan. You're not in the toxic environment, toxic culture that you were in before. Is everything perfectly fine for you right now? Or do you still struggle a little bit with your experience at Idaho?
I would definitely say it's a lot better. Coming here, definitely probably one of the best choices that I've made. When I wasn't like transferring in the process of it, it was really difficult because I didn't want to leave my teammates. I wanted to be there for them, but I knew that I couldn't be in the toxic environment of knowing that wherever I went, he was still on campus, couldn't deal with it anymore. But coming here, so good, complete 360, like no team drama. Coaches are amazing. It's just a full 360 flip. And I do still stress about stuff that happened there just because I feel for all of my teammates. I still have conversations with girls and reach out to them asking how they're doing. Like they'll ask me how I'm doing. So I still have conversations. Just it's a lot of things that happened there still reflect on me now. And it's hard to talk about stuff that has happened with my teammates now, just because it brings back some not so good memories that I don't always want to share. But I do because I want people to understand like what I went through, and I hope that no one has to go through what I myself and my teammates had to go through.
I should have started this at the beginning of the episode, but I'm genuinely sorry for what happened to you. What happened is real. And I know a lot of people may not think that, like, oh, you had a bad coach, you should have just dealt with it. But what happened to you is real. The reason I know it's real is outside my own experiences, my own lived experience. And as a coach, this is my area of research. This is what I have my doctorate in. This is what I spent many years doing my doctoral research on. So I know exactly what the lived experience is of people who are adversely impacted by toxic and abusive leadership in organizations, right? So this definitely happened to you. Don't let anyone ever take that away from you. You suffered, other people suffered. it altered not only your trajectory in life, but also possibly who you are as a person. So I just wanted to let you know that before we move forward, because I know not only for us speaking here, but probably for some of our listeners and viewers, they may be struggling with this too. And we just want to make sure that everyone knows that it's okay. You know, it wasn't you who did all these bad things. And we just want to make sure that you're aware and, you know, you understand that as well. You know, because it just didn't happen to you. It happened to Emma. It happened to many other players on your team. It happened to players on previous teams, not even at Idaho, that he coached. So, you know, this is a long history lesson of a coach who somehow made it through the cracks and still was able to coach for a very long time, even though there's a pattern of abuse. But that's honestly where we're not going today. The reason is because we're trying to best understand what your lived experience is, not how abusive a coach may be. So, you know, Emma shared a lot in her episode about her feelings, her thoughts, what she originally thought when this happened. Can you talk to us a little bit about that, Keelan? Like, I'm sure at the beginning you probably thought you were making mistakes and you were probably thought you were creating some friction. Can you kind of talk to us about when things went from okay to not okay and what your initial thoughts and feelings were about it?
Yeah, so before the whole season started, like 2 weeks into the season, I had my first meeting with him. And it was basically just to tell me that, like, I wasn't speaking nicely to people and just I wasn't very nice or whatever. And that kind of just made it uneasy for me because I had always, like, I always thought, like, I was nice. I always spoke, never, like, raised my voice at anybody. Always talked kindly, like, didn't really know my teammates that well because we had all just met. So I was like, okay, like, this is a good place to get to know everybody. We were all playing with each other for the first time. So I was very open-minded and it definitely took me by surprise what he had told me. And he had said that like other teammates had already came to him saying that I was saying stuff and like swearing at them, which was not true. I was given like no clear like information of what I had actually said. It was just kind of like pinpointing, but not actually giving any like more information besides that. So that definitely was an easy start to the season, but I had kind of just let it go and just kept moving on, trying to just went to practice, moved on with my day in the season. And then more and more meetings started happening. And it was just kind of like, okay, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, am I actually that bad of a teammate? And cause that's what he kept telling me. It was like, you're not a good teammate. Like, you're doing all this wrong. Like all this and that, like, you're still not speaking nicely to people, all this and that. So I ended up going to my teammates and I'm like, am I actually like not talking nicely to people? Like, am I this mean? And every single one of them was like, no, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, we all think you're fine. You're being a set, like you're being a teammate. Like you're telling us what we're doing wrong. Like you're asking for information. You're giving information, just like what you would do on a teammate, like having conversations on the court with your team. And yes, there's some in instances where I would speak louder just because it depended on the drill. And as a setter, like I have to be loud with my voice. So if, and more like direct. So yeah, there were some cases where my voice was raised and, it was never in a rude way. It was never to like point somebody out because they were doing something specifically wrong. It was more of a, I need this from you in order to make you better and to make myself better and to make the team better. And I don't think that me and Chris saw eye to eye on that, which is really unfortunate because as a coach, I think that's one of the biggest things that you have to see with your teammates and your players. So that definitely was just really like a kick in the foot because I just didn't really know what to do. And I would constantly just talk to my teammates about it. Be like, I don't know what to do. And like towards the end of the season, I had a rough morning meeting with one of my other teammates and basically told me that like, I'm still rude and I was talking bad about somebody and five people on the team complained about it or said that I had said something rude and which was never said. I denied it and my teammate denied it. Ended up suspending us for 5 days or whatever. So we were left in the dark of what happened, like what would happen, like what had happened and what had been said. And we ended up having a meeting with one of our captains, because she didn't also travel that weekend, that they had all, the rest of the team had left. And she had basically explained to us that she doesn't know why me and this other girl are being picked on constantly. Why things are being put into our mouths, saying that, we're talking bad about teammates, that we're not nice and all this and that. And she told us that she apologized for it, and we knew it was not her fault, and it was nobody on the team's fault. Like, it was what it was, and it was something that we had to deal with. And all that we could do is just basically keep denying it and telling him that he was wrong. And she had told us, that's when she had brought up that there were steps being taken that were kept from the freshmen just because they didn't want more like pressure being put on us as freshmen and just to be put in those situations. So that's when I came to the realization that something was going on that put a little bit of like calmness to me, just because knowing that there was something going on was good to hear. But I didn't know anything further than that until after the season had ended, where I had a conversation with Emma, and she had basically explained to me that this is what was going on. Like, she needed some information, and I had given it to her, and that was it until we all had like our individual meetings with coaches and whatnot. And that's when I was told that I probably should enter the transfer portal, which was hard. It was hard to hear, just because as a player, like, that's something you don't want to hear. And I felt that I didn't deserve to be told that, because I was put in a position that I should not have been put in. And it was basically him and the coaches against me. And I really felt that like my voice was never being heard, and that I was always wrong and could never be right in instances where I knew I had done nothing wrong. And it was always just, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Like, nothing you do or nothing you say will ever be right. It was always, no, this is not right. This is not true. Like, your teammates are telling us this, like, we have to go off your teammates, but it's never like my word taken for my actions, which was definitely difficult. But in the end, it happened. It really, really, really did suck. And it was really tough to tell my teammates that I was leaving. But yeah, that was just it was rough. It was really rough.
During this time, when you're continuously being told you're wrong, things were your fault, did you think it was just you? Like, were you aware of other things that may have been happening with other players on your team? Or did you solely think that you were the sole source of the problem, because that's what they were telling you at the time, is that you were the one who's wrong and you were the problem? I'm sure you did some self-reflection and you're like, you know, maybe this is me, maybe this isn't me, what can I do better? But then at a certain point, you're probably like, I don't know what's happening. I must really be projecting the wrong, you know, communication. But at a certain point, did you see that other people were being adversely impacted, or were you just so focused on things that were happening directly to you?
No, I definitely did notice other things that were happening to the team. I mean, as we were pretty close as a team, and we talked a lot about like different things that were happening, and we all saw different instances of like, whether it was at practice, whether it was outside, like other conversations, like we were close enough as a team. And I think we trusted each other enough outside of the court to have conversations together and be able to figure out what to do. So I definitely realized that there was more stuff happening like outside of just me. But I definitely felt like he made me feel like I was the sole problem and that everything was wrong because of me, which sucked, because I knew it wasn't, like, I was not the only issue. And like, there were more things going on, but it was solely just like, you're the issue, is what he made it seem like.
Now, Emma, you obviously, through our prior conversation, on the show and just offline it as well, you weren't just the only target, and your teammates, weren't also just the target. What were some of the things that you saw between Coach Gonzalez or Mr. Gonzalez and Keelan that you were like, whoa, wait a second. You know, he should be treating her that way. Are there any instances that you could recall or talk about?
Yeah, there are a few. I am so certain that there are more that I either don't remember or just didn't hear about. But a lot of the team's performance was blamed solely on Keelan. If it was in practice or if it was in games. You know, there was one instance where I know Keelan got in trouble for not communicating with the hitters. And explaining to us what to run. Normally that's done through hand signals, so we have to look at her to see what we're being told to run. And one of the hitters hadn't looked over. I personally forget all of the time. And in response, Keelan was trying to get her attention by saying her name over and over again and then having to get louder and louder. And this was just out of practice. And she'd gotten in trouble for not communicating and making sure the hitters had known what they were running. But then in the instance where she was trying to get the hitter's attention and having to get louder, she then got in trouble for speaking to a hitter that way. There were multiple times where, you know, volleyball is a game where everyone contributes to wins and losses. It's not just one person, but the outcome of the game was based specifically on Keelan's performance. You know, she may not have even played the entire game, but Gonzalez was telling her that because of her attitude or how she'd run certain things, or because she had ignored what he said for a play or didn't look at him to get permission to run something, then the entire loss was because of her and put on her shoulders. And as a freshman and a setter, that's something that, I mean, a coach putting a loss on one player's shoulders, much less a freshman's shoulders, is ridiculous and should not have happened. And seeing instances like this and just continuously how he spoke to Keelan compared to other girls or in kind of with other girls, it was awful to see and experience because it was so unfair and not real.
Now, when you would see all this stuff happening with Keelan and the other players, would you talk about it after practice and communicate with her and the other players? Or were you also just like trying to not get targeted by the coaches where you had to kind of step away and kind of be in your own area just because you also don't want to continue to be targeted?
There was definitely conversations afterwards, even like immediately after in practice, some of the like eye contact that was made and just kind of the nonverbal communication was like, what just happened? Like that was out of control. And then after practice, like either reassuring the players and saying like, it was not like you took the appropriate actions. You did everything fine. We don't know why that was the response. And so, you know, off the court, there was a lot of kind of inner team support where there was reassurance between players about, no, this was like, you did the right thing. The response was not equal to what happened. And so we really tried to support each other through everything that was going on.
Now, were those losses while Keelan was suspended, were those losses also her fault as well?
I don't really remember. I don't think I played in those games or was present because I believe it was like a travel weekend, but a lot of the losses and team attitude was blamed. And team attitude almost was always directly referenced back to Keelan and other players. So, you know, nothing could be done correctly in the way that he envisioned.
So Keelan, I asked this question a lot, you know, whether I was interviewing people for my doctoral research or I'm just having conversations with people about toxic or abusive leadership and, you know, positive leadership and positive organizational culture as well. I just don't dwell on the negative. In this particular case, in your first season here, couldn't Mr. Gonzalez just been a bad coach? Like, what made the situation toxic and abusive?
I'm not really sure on, like, what made the switch of, like, picking on certain people, picking on, like, I don't know what it was. But it was just uncalled for. It's not, like, the right word to use, but, it just was not needed. And, I don't know, like, what I personally did or what other people on the team personally did to make him treat us the way that he did. But I don't think he was – I don't know how to word this. I think he had good ideas as a coach, but I personally don't think the actions that he did made him a good coach. I think if he had treated us better from the start – we would have understood more of his coaching style and it would have clicked with all of us better, but just the flip so fast, none of us understood like how he was going to coach us. Like each day was a different need of something, like whether it was a different type of energy, whether it was a different type of attitude. It was just always something one day or in the other. It was never consistent. And I think that, really contributed to him not being a good coach in my eyes.
No, and I totally get that. And Emma, you might want to jump in here and help out here. So he wasn't a good coach in your words, but was he just not a good coach as in he was just a bad coach or an ineffective coach, or was there something like negative happening? Like, was there toxicity? Was there, you know, mental, physical, emotional abuse? Like, what were the things that, you know, drove the team in the direction that they went? Because it wasn't you communicating or not communicating with your fellow players. It wasn't Emma. It wasn't the other players who filed a complaint. You know, something must have happened, or there must have been a series of events that happened where it wasn't just that he wasn't a good coach, that, you know, maybe there was narcissism involved, or maybe there was him projecting his own situation onto others. That there must have been something where that caused you and your teammates to start shutting down. And where was that line, and what do you think that was?
Yeah, kind of from my experiencing and or my experience in witnessing everything, the line was the deeply personal nature of the ways that he interacted and kind of bullied and belittled us. It wasn't, you know, like when we lost, it wasn't
okay
because of specific talents. It was because of specific people's attitudes, because specific people just did not care. It was a much more personal attack than constructive coaching, even not constructive coaching, where we wouldn't know what he was wanting us to do. It was then progressed significantly into our own personal faults and how we weren't disciplined enough. We didn't care enough. We don't pay attention. We think we know better. And none of this is the case, where actually he is the only person who knows correctly. He is the only person who can tell us what to do. He, unless we follow exactly what he wants, then we won't win. And because of the pedestal he put himself on and the way he then treated us and kept us down, that's when it crossed the line from just being a bad coach to being an abusive situation.
How do you feel about that analysis, Keelan?
I think it's 100% correct. Just the way that he would talk to us, especially like after games, during timeouts, like it was never really positive talk. He would always tell us like, if we would just follow his instructions, we would win. If you would just do the small things that I tell you to do, we would win. And in those moments, like there were times, there were plenty of times that we did the things and the outcome just didn't go our way. And he would get mad, even though he told us to do that. Like there would be certain instances where he would be like, just tip the ball. If you just tip the ball to this spot, you will score. Well, we would do that and it would get picked up and he would get mad. And then it's in that situation, it's like, okay, well, what else do you want us to do? Like we're tipping the ball where you want us to do. We're like, it was just, it just led to so much uncertainty and us just like looking at each other, like, what are we supposed to do? And we couldn't go to him and we couldn't ask him like, what do you want us to do? Because he'd be like, well, I'm telling you what to do. And if we even if we confronted him about that, it would lead to, why are you second? Like, why are you like even coming to me asking that? Like, I promise you, like, if you do this, it will all work out and we'll win. But yeah, that was 100% correct.
One of the things that we've seen over time, not just in my research, but other people's research as well, is in a situation like yours, performance most of the time is not 100%. A lot of times organizations and people and teams lose a higher performance level because they, instead of competing at a high level because they can, they start competing at a high level because they're fearful or they're worried about things that might happen. Was that situation like familiar to you? Or were you just fine playing the whole time without worrying about repercussions or anything else from your coaches?
I was definitely worried about repercussions. I would always get told what to run and in certain like plays and whatnot. And if I did run those, and it didn't get the outcome we would get, I would either get subbed out or I would get like talked to in between timeouts, in between sets. And like, even instances, like I would not go back in and play. And it always led to me like, what am I doing wrong? Like I'm doing what you're telling me to. Like there were some cases in my mind that I was like, why don't you just come out here and play for me? If I am not that good, why don't you just come out here and play? And in that moment, it's like, I can't even be an athlete because I'm so focused on what is going to happen if I don't do the smallest thing correctly. And that was kind of my mind throughout the season of, okay, if I set this ball and we don't get the kill, like, what is going to happen? Like, am I going to get yelled at? Am I going to get subbed out? Am I never going to get to play the rest of the season? And a lot of the times that would, I would, after the play was over, I would always look to the bench to see his reaction about something. And, see what he was going to do, if he was going to point down the bench to have somebody come in and sub for me. So it was a lot of just like, what was the outcome going to be after the play had happened?
And at any point during that time period, were you like, oh, something positive is going to come out instead of negative?
There were definitely a few, they're very, very small times where during a good game or during a set that we were winning or that it was really close, like there would be times where there would be a good play and he would actually like clap, whether that was like him being joyful about something, him like, or him just clapping. Like there were instances, yes, where I would look over and see him clapping. So like, yeah, there were times where I was like, okay, maybe I did do something right. And maybe it was this and that. But that was like, it was very, very small occasions.
Now, in addition to confiding in your team, did you confide in anyone else, whether it was a friend or maybe your parents or sibling? Were you talking with anyone else about what you were going through?
Yeah, I definitely had a lot of conversation with my parents just because they would always watch our games on ESPN and I would always get the text like, why did you get taken out? What happened? Like, all this and that. And I'd have to like explain them, and it would be like hour and a half long calls. And sometimes like it would lead to me like crying because I just didn't know what to do and I didn't know what else to tell them. And like, they would get frustrated because they've watched me play volleyball my whole career. And they're like the people that know me the best, know me as an athlete, see me on the court, like how I interact with all my teammates. Like, they know I'm not a type of person to yell at somebody just to yell at them about nothing. Like, and it was just so hard. And like, my parents had come up for parents weekend and we had a game because it was my birthday as well. And, you know, I didn't get to start on my birthday, and I did end up playing, which was nice. But my parents, even after the game, were like, well, why didn't you start? Like, they made a joke about like, oh, did you tell him it was your birthday? I'm like, no, like, that's not going to change anything. Like, he already has this vision of me. And like, him telling me my birthday is not going to, like, it's not going to change the vision. It's not going to do anything. Like, he has this mindset of me already. And I just kind of accepted it. I always worked hard in practice just to prove him wrong. He even told me like, he knew like whatever I did wasn't going to prove him wrong, whatnot. But yeah, my parents just were so frustrated at the situation. And even my brother had texted me too and was like, hey, like, I understand, like, I don't understand what you're going, like, what's going on. I don't understand like how this is impacting you so much. And my brother is a sophomore in high school at the time. Like, he's 16 years old. Like, having a 16-year-old like sibling, like, see your sister going through this, like, that even says something. And I don't want him to see that. And it like really sucked. Like, when I came home and was telling him like, hey, I'm not going back out there. Like, I'm going to school here. He felt so bad, and I got like the biggest hug from him. And like, it was really emotional for me and my family just because of everything that like we had talked about from the beginning of the season to the very end. And like, even now, like, with all this new information coming out, like, it's brought back conversations that, we have as a family. And, even yesterday, like, hearing the information come out, like, I received it at like 6 o'clock at night, seeing like all the information coming through. And I immediately like texted my family. I was like, hey, like, this just happened. And that led to phone calls last night and all of that. But yeah. And like, outside of my family, all my teammates, like, I had conversations with a lot of them, and, about just what was going on, like, conversations that I had with my parents, and like asking them like if they agree, and if they didn't, like, totally open to it. Like, if I was wrong, they would tell me. And a lot of the time it was just good conversation to have, just for like the good reassurance and just the conversations that I needed to know where I stood with my teammates.
So Keelan, if you, outside of last or yesterday's discussions with your family, can you kind of talk about some of the discussions you had with your family? Like, what were some of the things that they were concerned about with you? Because even your brother saw the change, right? So what were some of the things that they saw you change with, or did they not really address that with you at that time?
No, they could definitely tell by just the way that I would like have conversations on the phone with them. Like, by the way that I would just get upset with like certain conversations. And when I had meetings with coach, I would immediately text them, and that would be a call like, hey, like, how did this go? And it would basically lead to them being angry about stuff that he was telling me, and that like I would tell my parents. And just the understanding of like, that's not who I am as a player. So I don't know where he's getting this from. And that also brought up conversations of when he was recruiting me, because he came and watched me play with girls that he didn't even know and that he wasn't even recruiting. And just to see like me interact with them before coming here, and just getting this whole new perspective of me prior to what he had seen before, it didn't make sense to my parents, and didn't make sense to me and my brother. And it just, a lot of the conversation was like, where is he getting this from? Like, are you actually doing this? Like, I would go back and watch film and be like, okay, like, am I actually like acting like this on the court? And I would go back and watch, and I'm like, okay, I don't know where he's getting this from, because this is not what I look like. And I'm like very critical of my film, and I like study it so hard just to make, cause I want to be a good player. And like, having to put that aside and basically watch my attitude, even though you couldn't always see my face, but like just my body language. And it was just a whole like flip of my like character almost, because I had to go back and be like, is this who I actually am? So that was a lot of the conversation I had with my parents, is like, are you truly like who this, like, who is he like telling you? Are you truly that person? And a lot of it was, no, I'm not. But yeah, that was a lot of the conversation, was just like, is this, are you actually like doing this? Like, and I would always be like, no, like, this is not who I am.
Emma, you were probably there during her first like few days or weeks of practicing. So you probably got to see her from the beginning. And then obviously you got to see her through the end of the season. Was she the same person at the start of the season that at the end? And if not, what were some of the changes you saw that Keelan went through as a person, and where maybe, you know, regardless of if it was her fault or not, according to Mr. Gonzalez, these things were her fault. But did you see any changes of her throughout the season?
You know, one thing that just throughout the entire season that I really appreciated about Keelan is she's a competitor. You know, regardless of the score, regardless of how things are going, every point is a chance to compete, you know, appreciating the challenge of maybe being put in a situation where we're down. That doesn't mean the game's over. That doesn't mean the level of play is going to lessen. And that carried, you know, through practice, through everything. And Keelan held herself and her teammates to the standard of, we are going to compete until the very end. And at the beginning of the season, like, that was very obvious. And even at the end, it was still obvious, but it felt, based off of everything that had been happening, where she was under so much scrutiny from the coaches and it being so unfairly biased against her, just made everything difficult. Because, you know, it was very obvious by the end of the season that she was kind of watching herself, you know, every move she made, everything she said or did at practice, she had to consider from the point of view of, the coaches think I have a bad attitude and am awful to my teammates. How will this be taken? And seeing that change and some of the withdrawal too, because setters have a huge leadership position on the court. And it's always hard for a freshman setter to come in and be playing with returners or older girls and more or less be telling them like, hey, we're going to run this. This is what we're going to do. You know, they're in charge of the offense. They're more or less the quarterback of volleyball. And to have someone come in as a competitor who did those things, was like, we're going to try this. We're going to do this. And making those own decisions based off of how the court was running was great. And then because those decisions were seen as a bad attitude, as bullying teammates, telling them what to do, that started to change because of how unfairly the coaches were viewing her and treating her. And it, I mean, it sucked to witness, you know?
Keelan, how much do you agree with Emma's assessment about your change? Do you think it was a little harsh? Do you think that it was spot on? And you know, if it's spot on, how do you feel about all that?
No, it was 100% spot on, especially with the way that I ended up interacting with the team towards the very end of the season. Like, I pretty much watched myself through every move. Like, there would be instances where I would be like, and I'm a talker. I love to talk. I love to joke around with everybody on my team. Emma can attest to that. And there were just, I would just be silent. I would sit in the locker room in my little corner in my locker and just watch and just not say anything, because I didn't want anything that I said to be taken the wrong way and then end up in the coaches, in the coach's hands and having to deal with it all over again. And like, even at practice, like, I would take a step back as being like a big leader and using my voice just to kind of just be there and like use my voice only when I had to, and kind of just, I want to say like, become invisible, but that's kind of what it felt like, just because that's what I had to do in order to like survive initially and not have to keep going through the things that I was going through. And it really sucked, because my connections with my team from the beginning to the end just changed drastically in the way that we all interacted with each other. But myself just having to take a step back of my communication, it was really tough.
You know, a phrase or a word you just said, and I know if Lori was on today's episode, which unfortunately she was having technical difficulties joining us, but you said survive. That's a pretty big word to use for your own situation, not because it's not believable, because it's 100% believable, but you know, survival is not something you should feel like, especially in a safe environment or a team environment or a caring environment. You know, survival, you know, just trying to survive through every day, that's extremely difficult. And, you know, I'm really sorry that you've gone through all that. Do you feel currently at Central Michigan University, where you're currently at, do you feel that sometimes your fears from before and you surviving from before shows up with your practices now, where you were silenced before? Do you feel like sometimes you still take a step back, or maybe you're still not as trusting as you were before you were at the University of Idaho? Like, where do you kind of stand with all that?
I would definitely say from coming to Idaho to here, I have tried to leave a lot of the stuff behind, and take a step forward. And I've definitely come back to the old person I was before I went to Idaho, where I'm vocal. I'm always having conversation. And with my team now, like, I am the only freshman. And I'm playing with, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So being the freshman that I am, like, they've told me that as a setter, like, I get to use my voice. And they don't treat me like a freshman. Like, I don't feel like I'm a freshman. I feel like have been on this team from day one. The team is just very, very cohesive, and everybody uses their voice, in the same way, where it's communication in drills, outside of drills, like demanding, like, this is what we need from you, like very, very vocal. So it's allowed me to, return to the player I was before I entered Idaho, just using my voice, always being the competitor that I am, which has been so, so grateful to have and to come back to, just because it was taken away from me. And now that it's given back, like, I am just taking it full force ahead and getting every opportunity that I can to use my voice.
Emma, when you heard Keelan talk about surviving, did any of that resonate with you?
Yeah, you know, this whole season, I mean, that whole season was just one day at a time. Make it through one day at a time, one practice at a time. You know, some of the girls talked about practice being 2 hours, so all we have to do is make it through 20 minutes six times, and doing things in kind of the biggest increment allowed, if that was 20 minutes or a day, but it was one thing at a time. And, you know, seeing all of my teammates transfer or leave the team, every time it happens, you know, the one thought that keeps coming back is, thank God they got out. You know, obviously, I really enjoy playing with them, and it sucks that they leave and aren't part of, you know, my team, regardless of wherever it is anymore. But I am so happy and proud and a little bit jealous that they're getting this opportunity and have gotten out and are in so much better situations now, because every single one of us deserves that.
Now, surviving 20 minutes six times in a day, how is that a recipe for winning?
It's not.
No, it's not. You know, making it through even just having that viewpoint where it's like, I have to make, like, I can make it through 20 more minutes. And then, okay, I can make it through this 20 minutes. Versus in other programs, you know, anytime I got the opportunity to play volleyball, it was, I'm here doing something I love. I'm going to use this opportunity full force. Like, I am happy to be here for the 2-3 hours. And some of it might be hard. Some of it might kind of suck, but I still enjoy every moment of it. And, you know, anything I had to get through was usually something like lines or conditioning. It was never a continuous 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes practice where it felt like we just had to keep going. It wasn't ever something that we want to be here and are looking forward to these 2 hours. And that's not a recipe for success or for winning. You know, we were there for each other, and a lot of near the end of the season, especially, it felt like the things we were doing was, we're here for each other. We're going to play. We're going to try and enjoy ourselves. And a lot of it was done kind of separately from the coaches. We had conversations where it was like, these are our last 2 weeks. Let's give our all. Let's do everything we can to make it good for each other, support each other. But it was still, you know, we only have 2 weeks left, 5 practices. Or 10 practices, you know, that's 10 practices, and just break it up into small time increments and we will get through.
Yeah, and I feel like as a team, like, we should not have had to worry about the time. Like, I know for myself, like, I would look at the time and be like, oh my gosh, like, we still have an hour and 45 minutes left of practice. Like, I, as like a volleyball player, I feel like I shouldn't have to worry about the time of like, okay, when am I going to get out of this situation? Like, it shouldn't happen. Like, here, like, I don't even have to worry about the time. Like, I just go and it, like, practice is over. It feels like 20 minutes. And I feel like we had to go through the situation of, oh my gosh, like, this is just feels like it's dragging and dragging and dragging. And it definitely made the last 2 weeks of the season really, really difficult, because a lot of us were just like, I don't know how much of this I can do anymore. Like, my body is just so, so exhausted. Like, both, all of us mentally too. Like, we were all mentally, I think we were all, myself, I was mentally checked out. Like, I didn't want to go through it anymore. Like, I was ready for the season to be over, but I knew I had to show up and give my 110%, whether it was 20 minutes increments or whether it was just full straight 2 hours. I had to show up and give it all, no matter what it was.
Emma, if Keelan actually did everything that Mr. Gonzalez said about how bad she was and how mean she was and all the other things that he said about her, did she still deserve the treatment that she received? Would she have still... I think you understand what I'm asking. Did she still deserve the treatment that she was getting, even if she was guilty of everything that she was blamed for?
No. You know, I've had bad teammates in the past that I did not enjoy and that I thought treated myself, like me, and my other teammates poorly. And there were conversations from the coaches that those teammates had with other teams. But they were still treated as people. They were treated as young, growing women in a new situation. And as people who, regardless of their attitude problems, the way they might talk to people, were still worthy of respect and consideration. And that was something that didn't happen here. And, you know, if in a situation that where Keelan was doing all of these things, I think it would have been very clear by the lack of camaraderie and friendship between Keelan and people off the court. But that wasn't the case. So regardless of how someone's attitude is does not mean that they deserve to be treated the way that Keelan was.
No, thank you for sharing that, Emma. In your opinions as players, do you think if this season or this past season you were treated with dignity and respect, do you think that your performance would have been higher and you would have won more games?
Yes, for sure. For sure.
How do you think, like, to what level do you think the difference would have been?
I think it would have been a lot, like, different. Just, I think, different side of the scale. Like, we could have been probably mid-conference, maybe even top six, seven, five. But just the way that we were talked to and the way that he perceived us as players and as a team definitely made us not feel like we were good as we could have been. And I still to this day, like, think that we had the greatest friendship as a team, like, that I have ever been on, like, getting along with everybody. Like, it really truly was a family outside of one another. Like, we came together so many times, like, off the court, just whether that was doing dinner, hanging out, whatever it was. But I think it would have been so different if things from the beginning of the season were just taken away and there would have just been a huge step from where we were to where we could have been.
I think one of the biggest things that would have made a difference is, you know, if he respected us and saw us as the high-level collegiate athletes that we are, we would have been allowed to play volleyball and make our own decisions. Obviously, there's a game plan in general, but understanding that we're following the game plan to the best of our abilities and our knowledge, and we are also playing and making adjustments to what the other team is doing. We're not purposefully deviating from the things he said just because we don't like what he said, because we think we know better. You know, we're the ones out on the court. Like, let us play volleyball. Trust us enough to think that if we're down one or two points, you don't need to make substitutions. You don't need to call a timeout immediately. Let us struggle and grow together and be the team that we know we can be. We are just blocked from that at every opportunity. You know, we never got to just play volleyball against another team. And I really think that would have made a huge difference if he respected us enough to think that we might know what we're doing. You know, we're not just numbers and statistics that he needs to control to every ability that he has. We are our own thinking, like, moving human beings and have plenty of experience and are able to understand the game. And that really would have made so much of a difference, allowing us to struggle together in a competitive atmosphere and grow past it instead of stopping the game, telling us we're losing because we're not doing what he wants, and substituting people because he feels like they're deviating from his plan.
Emma, Keelan, thank you so much for joining us today on the Culture and Sports Podcast. But before we leave, Keelan, this question is for you. Do you have any closing comments or statements, whether it's to your former teammates at the University of Idaho, a young volleyball player, a coach, or even your younger self? Do you have anything that you want to say?
I would just like to let all of my teammates know from Idaho that I love each and every one of you, and it was a really, really difficult decision to leave, and it was not because of you guys, and I want you to know that you guys are, like, some of my bestest friends, and that I love each and every one of you, and if I could give you guys hugs again, I would in a heartbeat, and I'm really sad that I was not able to continue to play with you guys and that the situation that we went through had to happen, but I'm so grateful that I got to go with it, go through with it with you guys, and that we all stuck together. And there is always light at the end of the tunnel, no matter what happens. And I'm so grateful that I got to meet each and every one of you. And that I love you guys also very much.
And that's a wrap for this week's episode of the Culture and Sports Podcast. We hope that this episode has started an internal dialogue, or even one with your team, about the importance of leadership and organizational culture. If you'd like to learn more about Culture and Sports, the Culture and Sports Podcast, or other programs, go to cultureandsports.com, where there is a wealth of resources, articles, research, podcasts, video shows, webinars, and courses. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn at Culture and Sports, and on Twitter at Culture and Sport. Thank you for tuning in to the Culture and Sports Podcast.